All right, Dr. Jason Coulson joins us on the line. He's one of Australia's leading parenting experts. Good morning, Justin.
Emma, hello.
Now, Justin, you recently wrote an article for KidSpot, and it was titled What the Parenting Experts Wish Every Parent Knew. And I want to hear it from you yourself because, you know, there's a lot of people that have a lot to say about people giving, you know, unsolicited advice, and not everyone appreciates it. I actually really appreciate it, by the way, but not everyone, you know, else appreciates it. But hey, this is the perfect opportunity because you're a parenting expert. So for all of those who don't like hearing parenting advice, they will listen to it from you because you know what you're talking about. So
I hope so. You know, I wrote this article because every now and again, you know, when you get cranky at the kids and you just want to say, for goodness sakes, how many times have I told you? If I've told you once, I've told you a thousand, you know, and you want to give them that sort of thing where your mum starts coming out of your larynx. what happens every now and again for, I'm putting you in my shoes for a sec, for a guy like me, I'm giving people parenting advice all day, every day, and yet people keep on making the same parenting mistakes. I was down at the beach on that amazing public holiday we just had, and I watched this mum get in the face of her probably 7-year-old daughter, and when I mean in the face, I'm talking millimetres away, nose-to-nose kind of thing. And she was just giving, she's screaming at her daughter because she wasn't happy with her daughter's behavior. And I just thought, oh my goodness, here I am, I'm a parenting expert and I so badly want to intervene and say, hey, lady, this is not how you talk to your children. but I couldn't. And so it's those kinds of episodes that I witness on an almost daily basis, sadly, that made me think, that's it. I'm going to write that article where I say, look, please just understand this, parents, because if you understand this stuff, I could be out of a job, and that would be wonderful, because that would mean that the world was full of great parents, which means kids are going to grow up happy and secure and resilient and all that sort of stuff. So that's why that's the background.
I love it. So can you tell us a few of the things?
Okay, number one, your children are not deaf. You do not need to shout at them. Sorry, that was a bit melodramatic, but
no, I think it actually needs to be communicated that way so people understand.
The thing is, we think that our kids are deaf. I'm pretty sure that's what we think, because when they don't respond to what we ask instantly, I've noticed that most parents start to really raise the volume. They raise the intensity, and it's like, there's a couple of things here. Number one, they're not deaf, because if you stand on the opposite side of the house, put headphones on your child, and then quietly whisper, would anybody like some ice cream, they will still hear you.
And that's a good test to do if you're unsure.
Yeah, that's right. So they're not deaf. Well, at least not in a typically developing child. Obviously, there are some children who are. But what we do is we get so angry and we start shouting. In fact, I've heard parents walk into a lounge room and yell at their children because their children are making a lot of noise. And they say, this is a quiet house. We don't shout in this house. I'm like, did you just hear yourself? Seriously? but the thing is, Emma, our children just need us to speak civilly and kindly to them. I like to say to parents, imagine that you're talking not to your children but to your neighbor's children. Because we would never speak to other people's children the way we speak to our own. I mean, it's crazy what we do. So that's my number one tip. Speak softly and kindly and lovingly, even when they're ticking you off.
Nice. I like it. They're very important. Give us another one.
Okay. Second thing I think would be we've got to get past this thing that our children need to be punished when they do the wrong thing. When a child jumps in the pool and can't swim properly, let me ask you, Emma, what do we do when a child can't swim?
We jump in and save them.
Okay, sure.
That's what I would do. What's the right answer?
That's one thing that we do. And then what's our next step?
Teach them how to swim.
We teach them how to swim, yeah. And when a child can't read, what do we do when they're struggling with their reading?
Teach them how to read.
And no matter what it is, whether it's riding a bike or whether it's a, you know, some sort of other physical activity or an intellectual or academic activity, when our children can't do something, we teach them. But when our children can't behave, you know what we do then? We punish them. Mm. And And we're getting that wrong. Our kids don't need to be punished. They need to be taught. And punishment does not teach very well. So my second thing that I wish parents understood was we teach best when our children feel safe,
yeah.
when our children know that we love them, and when our children know that we're trying to gently guide them and assist them. So we've got to get our relationships right, and we've got to teach, not punish.
Yeah, wow, that's really powerful, Justin. It's good. Now, I know we're over time, but it's really good stuff, and I want to hear one more. Can you give us one more?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with one more. Just a quick fun one. I think that most importantly of all, we've got to let our kids be little.
Yeah.
So my oldest child now is 16, and my youngest 18 months, and I've got a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old, and another couple in between there as well. So I've got 6 kids in total.
So you've had some practice.
And this is something that I've learned, and it can only come, I think, through years of hard-won wisdom. But when my 16-year-old was 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, I used to get annoyed at her when she wasn't doing what I thought that she was developmentally capable of, like making her bed or putting her shoes on or eating her dinner. Mm. I remember one night when she was 6 and I had to feed her meal, and I was going, this is insane. You're 6 years old. Eat your meal. And what I've discovered is that now that I've got a 16-year-old, I look at my 5-year-old or my 8-year-old, and I look at my little baby, and I think to myself, they are just so little. They're such tiny kids, and I need to let them be little.
Mm.
And if they want me to feed them, or if they want to go to sleep in my bed, or if they want me to push them a little longer on the swing, even though if they're completely capable of getting that stuff right on their own,
yeah,
I'm gonna do that for them because they're so little. And I don't think we realize just how little they are until they're big, and then it's too late.
Yeah.
And that's why I've got 6, because I just don't want to lose that magic of the littleness of our children.
Yeah. Yeah, wow, that's really powerful, Justin. Can I ask, are you going to have more?
I'm not sure.
Maybe we need to talk to your wife about that.
Yeah. That's still under negotiation, I think.
Wow. There you go. You're amazing. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Justin Coulson.
Pleasure, Emma. Nice chatting with you.
That's Dr. Justin Coulson. He's one of Australia's leading parenting experts from happyfamilies.com.au.